With you out of this chapter that's been working my heart the last two or three days, and I trust the Lord will use it to speak to our hearts tonight. Acts chapter number 20. While you're turning, I do want to say it's a real joy to be back in service tonight and good to be in the house of God. I've already enjoyed church. How about you?
Amen.
I really, really have. Good singing. And I'll tell you what, if you didn't enjoy what you just heard, I probably got questions about your salvation. And you know what? I believe if there's any grass in heaven, it'll be blue. That was great, man. I enjoyed that tonight. That absolutely was great. I can't imagine anybody, unless they live way up yonder, I don't enjoy that kind of music. I'm going to be nice. But anyhow, I enjoyed that good picking tonight. Then the youth choir, wasn't that great tonight? Amen. Then the adult choir doing a great job tonight. And I appreciate the good singing tonight. I sure did. Good playing. And man alive, I sat there thinking, if a man can't preach after that singing and that playing, he ought to turn his license in. Amen. And I enjoyed a good singing tonight. I sure did today. And also I've enjoyed today. And I want to thank the preacher and church for allowing my wife and I to come. I feel like I've known Joe all my life. I'm part of your family. And I mean that. I really do. Preaching, I had some good fellowship today, good kinder spirit. And I don't know why we hadn't crossed paths somewhere. We know everybody. We know the same people. And but it's so good to be here, and I appreciate you letting me come. Good place to stay. Good meal today. And have you ever seen y'all's pastor eat? I heard that over there. Joe, he's got those suspenders on. I know why he don't have a belt on. Man, that was good. I enjoyed a good meal today, and I tried to be conservative and be nice, and I wanted some of everything, but it's the first time he'd been with me, and I've been with him, and I wanted to make a good impression, but that didn't bother him a bit. Not one bit. He went over at that bar, and he come back with that chicken. Hallelujah. Hey, y'all know what that right there is? That's a fence around a chicken graveyard. Man, good day. I enjoyed it. I sure did. Good fellowship, and I appreciate the good day the Lord's given us today. And so good to be back in the service tonight. Again, I appreciate the preacher allowing us to come. Good place to stay, good food, good fellowship. Just a good service. I heard my wife telling somebody on the phone this afternoon, you would like this church. Amen. And by the way, can I just say this? If I lived in this area, I probably wouldn't have to pray long about being a member here. Listen, a frog that won't croak on its own pond ain't much of a frog. Can I get a witness right there? I like your church. Is that okay? I like it. I like the spirit in here. And I like your pastor. I like everything about it. And if redneck tells you he likes you, that means he loves you. But I enjoyed today. I sure have. It's been my joy to be here today. We get one of my prayer cards. Do remember my wife and I in prayer. We are busy. And I appreciate the Lord keeping us busy. And in rivals, camp meetings, missions. I preach a lot of missions. And I love missions. I believe the very heart throb and the heartbeat of God is missions. Amen. And I believe the hope of America. And I'm praying for our president. I hope you'll pray for him.
Yeah,
you say, I know whose side you're on. If you're not on his side, I know whose side you're on too. I'm moving. Are you listening? But listen to me tonight. Listen to me. I like him. I think he's doing a good job. You say, do you agree everything the president's doing? I don't even agree everything I do. But I do want to say this tonight. He don't have the answer to this country. Are y'all hearing me preach? He don't have the answer to this country tonight. The answer to this country tonight is starting fundamental Bible preaching churches just like this one around the country. Not only preach starting churches, keep those that are going open. Amen. So do remember some prayer. And I love missions. I really do. And pray God to help us in these days and use us for the glory of God. So good to be here tonight. Good to see you in service tonight. Hey, preacher, I told my wife a while ago, man, we got something under 200 here tonight. Maybe under 500. Good crowd. Good. Hey, listen, I go in churches every week. And I will tell you, on Sunday morning, Sunday night, it's quite different across this country. I sat in there thinking while the choir was singing tonight. I preached in a church not long ago that probably had 300, 350 on Sunday morning. And you probably had more in the choir tonight than they had on Sunday night. Am I telling the truth? Hey, that's a good testimony for this church and this pastor. And man, it's good to see this good number back in church tonight. And I appreciate you being here and being with us in the house of God tonight. I pastored for years and years, almost 40 years. And I still got a lot of that pastor stuff in me. And I love preachers and I love pastors. My daddy was a pastor. My dad preached in pastor churches 45 years. My son, my dad was my pastor. Now my son is my pastor. That's different. And this past year when I resigned my church, I joined my son's church, and I didn't join it because he was my son. I joined it because the Holy Ghost led me there. And it's just almost in Virginia. It's between Mount Airy, North Carolina, and Galax, Virginia. We're mountain folk. And so if I talk like mountain folk, I'm a mountain boy. I was preaching down in the eastern part of the state a few weeks ago, and the preacher introduced me and said, "Now y'all get ready, he's a mountain preacher." I took that as a compliment. So, but what does George say? I still got a lot of that pastor stuff in my heart. And the things in Baptist churches sometimes, and churches I pastored, down through the years moved me and stirred me. It's shocking what it takes sometimes to move people right out of the will of God. And I mean shocking. It doesn't take much at all. And I want to talk to you tonight, kindly from a, I'm not the pastor, but kindly from a preacher standpoint to the church. And I hope I'll be a blessing to you tonight. Acts chapter number six, Acts chapter 20. Let's stand together, please. Where's the water boy? I don't like dry preaching. Yeah. Thank you, Brother Johnston. You're a good man. Give this man a raise. One of the favorite messages I have that I preach across the country is out of this chapter. Eutychus, that fell out the window. I like that text, don't y'all? I'm not going to preach it, but I like that text. Eutychus. Eutychus too, if you'd have fell out the window. Acts chapter 20, verse 17. And from Miletus sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, "You know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you in all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying and the weight of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jew and also to the Greek, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And now I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things which shall befall me there, say the Holy Ghost, witnessing every city, as saying, that bonds and afflictions abide in me. And none of those things that move me," and notice this verse, "and none of those things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus, to testify of the gospel of the grace of God." Thank you for sending you to be seated tonight. I want to call your attention tonight to verse number 24. And mainly I'm going to preach out verse 24 tonight. Notice again in verse 24. Paul said, "None of those things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself." I want to preach tonight on this thought just for a few minutes. The secret to spiritual stability. The secret to spiritual stability. There's not a lot of stability among a lot of churches tonight. There is here, and I thank God for what I see tonight. But I want to say to you tonight, it's not that way everywhere. I go places and you're talking about stability. They may be there and they may not be there. And that's not the way it's supposed to be this evening. And I see a lot of apathy. I see a lot of attitude. I see a lot of absence in a lot of churches tonight. And again, I don't see that here tonight. But I want to say to you tonight, if you don't watch it tonight, hey, the devil will throw you a curve, get you out of church, get you out of the will of God, and get your life all messed up. Can I say this while I preach tonight? The devil's not excited about what's happening here. Better hear what I just said. I said the devil's not excited about what's happening around here at this church. Hallelujah, man. Good crowd. Good spirit. God's blessing you. Tremendous mission program. God's blessing you. Hey, that's enough to shout about. Somebody say amen. But don't say to him, that's not that way everywhere. And again, in our fundamental Bible preaching churches, if you don't watch it tonight, hey, the devil will cause you to take your eyes off of God and get your eyes on somebody that's out of the will of God. I'll say to you tonight, we need stability in our churches tonight. Hey, we need stability in our homes tonight. Hey, we need stability in our hearts tonight. That just simply means stay by the stuff. Don't stop. Don't quit. Don't back up. But just stay by the stuff tonight. Paul said, none of those things move me. And I love studying the life of the Apostle Paul. You talk about stability. Hey, he's standing there for the glory of God. I said it about this word this week. How the word stability simply means to be established. It means to be stable. It means to be steady. It means to be firm. It means to stand without moving. And may I say to you tonight, that's what we need this evening. Hey, some folk are just staying out for the glory of God. Paul said, none of those things move me. My daddy's been in heaven 12 or 13 years. And my dad said this to me before he went to heaven. He said, son, there's not a lot of commitment in our churches anymore. There's not a lot of stability in our churches anymore. I was thinking about this week when I studied. I thought, my soul, if my daddy was alive today, he'd have a cardiac. Because what goes on today. Oh, I just want to say to you tonight, by the good grace of God, hey, just stay in there for the glory of God. Did you know this tonight? Again, I'll say this. It don't take much to move some folk out of the will of God. It doesn't take much to get some folks' eyes off of God and get them out of church and get them out of the will of God. I never will forget this. And of course, this story is to be repeated over and over again. I had a family in the church, and this feller, his mother, had quit coming to church. And she never did come real regular, but she got where she wouldn't come at all. And I asked him one day, I said, is your mama sick? What's going on with your mother? And he said, preacher, I'll just be honest with you. Mama got offended. I said, well, what'd she get offended about? He said, I don't know. I believe he lied. But he said, I don't know. I said, Jason, there's something wrong somewhere. What's wrong with her? But she got offended and she got hurt and she's not coming back. So I went to see her. And when I went to see her, I fished around and fished around and fished around trying to find out what was going on. Hey, listen to me tonight. It doesn't take much to move some folk. I don't know anything about Methodists. I don't know anything about the Church of God. I don't know anything about the Episcopalians. But I know a whole lot about Baptists. I know this folk out tonight, if you don't shake their hand and give about half of the church time to them, they won't be back. Because they use the excuse, our preacher just isn't friendly. I mean, they're the only ones there. Nobody, are y'all hearing me preach tonight? I'm telling you tonight, it don't take much to move some folk. Paul said, none of those things move me. I never cease to be amazed at what it takes to move some folk right out of the will of God. And I'll say this to you tonight. I want to help you. Listen to me tonight. You can tell the caliber of a man is by what it takes to move him. You can tell the caliber of a woman by what it takes to move him. I'll tell you something tonight. Let hell or high water come, I'm going to church. Do I need to say that again? I'm telling you, I'm going to church. My soul. Hey, you might preach me to the altar, but you ain't going to preach me out. Are you hearing me preach tonight? And I'll say to you now, again, it doesn't take much to move some folk. Paul said, none of those things move me. I sang about this text this week. And sometimes my introduction are longer than my messages, so don't worry about it. But I sang about this text this week. Paul said, none of them things move me. And I said to myself, what is he talking about? Look at verse 24. But none of those things move me. What is he talking about? He points out several things by introduction here that did not move him. Look at verse number 18. Bible said in verse number 18, the latter part of it, after what matter I've been with you at all, say the next word, seasons. Hey, I'll tell you something now. Seasons didn't move Paul. Our life goes through different seasons. We're up, we're down, we're in, we're out. Our life goes through different seasons. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1, unto everything there is a season, unto every purpose under heaven. And I'll say to you as a child of God tonight, we go through different seasons. This is funny, I shouldn't tell it. This Christmas season. And even Santa Claus, we go through different seasons. There's a time we believe in Santa Claus. There's a time we don't believe in Santa Claus. There's a time we try to be Santa Claus. Then there's a time we look like Santa Claus. So I want to say we go through different seasons in our life. But don't say seasons didn't move Paul. Hey, you're in this service tonight. Things don't stay the same. I'll promise you this evening at my age. You say, how old are you? I'm the oldest I've ever been. And at my age tonight, listen to me. I have learned and I'm learning things don't stay the same. Yes, your life's going to go through different seasons. Yes, your family's going to go through different seasons. Oh, I've seen how families go through different times and how different seasons. And it will cause them sometime to get out of the will of God. The preacher made mention today, and he don't know who I'm talking about, but he mentioned the name to me today, of a missionary that went out west and still is out west. And his son married a girl in my church. After he married that girl in my church, he moved her to the state where they're at tonight. And as a result of that, I tore that daddy out frame. He got out of church tonight. And he's out of church tonight. He's sitting there all bitter. He's sitting there all swollen up. Because that boy took his daughter out of the state. Hey, listen to me now. Our life, our family, it goes through different seasons tonight. Mm-hmm. Churches go through different seasons. I'm in my introduction. I'll preach in a minute. Churches go through different seasons. How's the time to sow? There's a time to weep. There's a time to cultivate. There's a time to harvest. And I want to say to you, sometimes it might seem like it's a long time between harvest time. But churches go through seasons. I'm telling you, after all those years of pastoring, things don't stay the same, but stay by the stuff. Are you listening? Churches go through different seasons. But then I want to say, seasons didn't move Paul. But I want to say, by way of introduction, notice in verse number 19. Paul says in verse number 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. I'll say service didn't move Paul. The things that he went through, service didn't move Paul. And again, hear what I'm saying tonight. There is so many tonight has moved because of service. Can you believe I hear preachers complain? Would y'all believe preachers would complain? I'm talking about Baptist preachers. I'm talking about independent Baptist preachers. I'm a dependent Baptist, are you listening? But I'm an independent Baptist too. But I'll say to you, hey, service sometimes moves people. because of the situation. Oh, they're moved and they want to get out of the will of God and go somewhere else. Are you listening? My daddy asked me this question before he died. He said, son, what is this I hear among preachers called burnout? I said, do what, daddy? He said, son, what is burnout? He said, I've never heard that in my generation. I said, daddy, burnout is when you go to the drag strip. But that's not what people's doing with it today. They get burnt out, and because of service, hey, get out of the will of God. Paul said service didn't move him. Paul said seasons didn't move him. But look at verse 19 again. I'm coming to my text. Look at verse 19 again. He said, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many what? Listen, I can't hear a lick. I'm old. And with many what?
Tears.
I want to say tonight, sadness didn't move Paul. And many tears. Sadness didn't move Paul. Hear me real good tonight. Sometimes when sadness comes, sometimes when what we call tragedy comes, sometimes when our loved ones are taken away, I have seen those that would get out of the will of God because of that loved one. I got a friend, as a matter of fact, it's my brother-in-law. I'll guarantee you I can call him right now. He'd be here in 5 hours to help me if I needed him. I'll promise you, good of guys you've ever met in your life, loved God down through the years, was a deacon in the church, and there was a preacher. I was a godly deacon that knew his place. He wasn't a preacher's boss. He was a servant. Yeah. And are you hearing me? Godly, loved God. My sister about 4 years ago up and died. My mama died. I had two sisters died. I had a brother died. My daddy died. My mama died. Her daddy died. Her mama died. And that's why God brought me home from missions. I had to pastor that church and be with my family during them years. And but I never will forget this about my brother-in-law. Dottie, listen, he wouldn't miss nothing. I'm talking about Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Hey, I'm talking about running the bus route. I'm talking about faithful. I'm talking about backing the man of God. And would stand and fight for the man of God. But when my sister went home to be with the Lord, which was just a year older than I am, that did something to my brother-in-law. He's never got over it. He got out of church. I was preaching in his area some time ago. And I called him. I said, hey, Don. I said, man, I'm at Cherry Grove this weekend. Come and see me. Come to church. Hear me tonight. Sadness didn't move Paul. Our Bible said through many tears. Oh, those tears and hardship, that did not move Paul. J.T. Lyons, that was a missionary that was in Africa for 35 years in the bush country. His mom had been dead 3 months before they ever got word to him. But sadness didn't move him. I got to get to what I want to preach. I want to say, listen to me, seasons didn't move Paul. I want to say service didn't move Paul. I want to say sadness didn't move Paul. Look at verse 19 again. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears, and help me. Temptation, sin didn't move Paul. And may I say this in passing tonight, how sad that is tonight. There's a lot of fellas messed up tonight. I say this with a broken heart. I say this with sadness in my soul. Some time ago, my wife and I were going through my old date books. That dates all the way back to 1974. I keep records everywhere I go, every message I preach, every joke I tell. I keep records of everything. And I was going through those old date books some time ago. And the last 10 years, I just went back 10 years. And in those 10 years, I cannot number on my fingers and hands tonight of the men of God that's messed up that I have preached for. Hey, listen to me tonight. Sin did not move Paul. You better hear me preach tonight. I said sin did not move Paul. Bible said here in this verse here tonight, temptations. Oh, it didn't move the Apostle Paul. But by the grace of God, hey, he said, let me tell you how to handle temptation. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Everybody listen to me.
Yes.
When temptation comes a knocking, let Jesus go to the door.
Yes, sir.
How? Are you listening? I said, when listen to me. I tell you how to handle temptation. Stay real good, fresh in love with Jesus. He's the best thing that ever happened to me. This world don't have anything to offer me. I got the best of my soul tonight. Temptation didn't move Paul. And I hope I'm not preaching to somebody tonight and you're on the verge of that tonight. You say, well, preacher, you need to realize where you're at tonight. Well, the truth of the matter is I'm not really sure where I'm at. I'm not here. But I want to say this to you tonight. In our good, fundamental Bible preaching churches, you got to put up with the same devil as anybody else tonight. You don't have to be in a liberal, dead church how to be tempted. Are you hearing me tonight? I say temptation did not move Paul. I'm coming to my message. Look at verse 20. Bible said, and Paul said, and I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. Can I say tonight, the saints didn't move Paul. Look what he said in the verse. And I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. He talked to the elders of Ephesus. And I'll say this to you tonight, how the saints did not move Paul. How the saints did not move Paul. Hey, Paul. Hey, Paul, come here a minute. How about old Demas? Demas was a soul winner. Demas was a door knocker. Demas was a bus worker if they had a bus in that day. They didn't have a bus, but they had a donkey and a sled. Demas, my fellow laborer. He's only mentioned three times in the Bible. Demas, my fellow laborer. Then it just said Demas. Then it said, Demas has forsaken me. Hey, Paul, how about old Demas that stood with you one time? Hey, Paul, how about Demas that forsook you? And what a time to run out on a man. Read 2 Timothy chapter 4. Are you hearing me preach tonight? The saints didn't move Paul. Listen now, everybody that says they're a saint ain't. And I'll tell you something about you better keep your eyes on the right one. Hey, the saints didn't move him. Can I make a statement? We all not take his statement wrong. Seem like down through the years, preacher, those I invested the most in did me the wrongest. Y'all didn't hear what I just said. Down through the years of preaching, seem like those I tried to invest most in did me the worst. But can I hasten to say this? That's not going to change my mind. I'm going to keep on helping people. I'm going to keep on loving preachers. I'm going to keep on trying to help preachers. I want to say to you tonight, oh my soul, hey, the saints did not move Paul. Get your eyes off that person that's out of gear with God. I don't get them off to the point that you're not going to pray for them. But don't. And then, well, can I just take a minute and say something? I preached a long time this morning. I promise I'll get you that time to go to bed tonight. Listen to this. In the early 70s when I started preaching, there was three men in our area that God used in the 50s and 60s to bring revival across the Blue Ridge Mountains down in our area. Unbelievable. One of them was a man by the name of Woodrow Wishon. Other one was a man by the name of Olin Barker, which was my dad. Another one was a man by the name that I ain't going to say. But my daddy told me how God used those other two men of God. Of course, he's with them. How they would have revival. It wouldn't be anything 35, 40 people get saved. They had revival from Sunday to Sunday. Boy, that's changed nowadays, hasn't it? Well, it takes me a week to get the boogers off my gallbladder, or off my vocal cords preaching. Are you listening? But I want to say to you tonight, God used those men in a mighty, mighty way. And I told my daddy about him. And I said, Daddy, where does so-and-so live? I'm not going to call his name. And I said, I want to go talk to him. God, I'm telling you, God used this guy I'm talking about. It's unbelievable how God used him in the Greensboro, Winston-Salem area of our place where I live. Unreal how God used him in the mountains of North Carolina. I said, Daddy, I want to go talk to him. He said, well, I've not seen him in a long time, but here's where he lives. I went to his house. I'm talking about saints didn't move Paul. I went to his house. Now, never will forget, living a little 10-foot wide, single trailer, 10-foot wide. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And I knocked on the door. When I knocked on the door, I heard the roughest old gravel voice. It's open. I said, okay. I opened that door and I stepped inside that little 10-foot wide trailer. I looked at that old man of God up in years at that time. I looked at that old man of God and I said, "Sir, you don't know me, but you know my daddy." And I said, "Daddy told me how God used you down through the years and how you had the power of God on your life." I said, "I'm a young preacher. I've just started preaching." And I said, "I just wonder if you would let me just sit and pick your mind a little bit this afternoon." I looked at that old man of God and he looked at me. I'll never forget the look, preacher, that guy had. An old, ugly, sheepish, halfway smile on his face. He looked at me and he said, "Sonny boy, they did me dirty." That was not what I went to hear. He said, "They done me wrong. They done me dirty. The last church he pastored voted him out. They did do him wrong, no doubt about it. They done him dirty and they'll stand before God over it. But here's the tragedy out of that. For the last probably 15 years of that man's life, he was so full of hate, bitterness, malice. Lived down the road just not far from the particular church I'm talking about. His desires and his hope was that thing would burn down. And that old man of God sat there in that trailer after God had used him for years and years and years. And that old root of bitterness sprung up in his heart. And that old man of God sat there for years and years. I never heard such a story in my life. I'm going to be honest with you. That afternoon when I left that place, not one positive word. He didn't even pray with me. I'd never seen such bitterness in a human being. I walked out of that little mobile home, got in my car, and I thought, "Dear God, if that's what the minister's going to do, I don't want it. I don't want either. I thought about quitting, man." You know what's to say? That old man of God sat there in that trailer. A few years back, that thing caught on fire. And he sat in a chair and couldn't even get up. And the thing burnt down around him and he burnt up in that trailer. Let me tell you something tonight. Saints ain't going to move me. Those that's out of the will of God, those that's not. Listen to me tonight. You better keep your eyes in the right place. I don't know why I'm preaching this night. I do know why I'm preaching too. God said, "Preach it." Hey, the saints did not move, Paul. I got to get to my message. I'm just laying a big foundation. I'll set a little house on it in just a minute, okay? Notice something else. I want to say the saints didn't move. Paul, look at verse 21. Paul said, testifying both to the Jew and also to the Greek, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. I would say the sinners didn't move Paul. Are you with me tonight? They didn't move Paul. He's talking about sinners here. And the sinners did not move Paul. Look at verse 23. I won't get to my text. Notice verse 23. Save the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide in me. Hey, suffering didn't move Paul. That suffering that he went through. Hey, come here a minute. If the Apostle Paul walked in this building tonight. Now, a lot of this is Barker theology, but I believe you'll find it's true if you'll study. If the Apostle Paul walked in that door tonight, I'm going to tell you what you'd see. I think you'd probably see a little short, hunched over, almost crippled guy with a pair of glasses on just about as thick as a Coca-Cola bottle. I got scripture to say that. And I'm talking about he had all kinds of sickness. Quite often he would talk about his infirmity. Can I tell y'all something? Listen to me. Sickness didn't move this man. Oh, I don't know what's going to happen to me down through in years to come. I don't know what's going on. I hope I stay healthy till I'm 119. Say amen right there. I hope I do. As far as I know, I'm healthy tonight other than I'm overweight. My Heavenly Father's good to me. But I want to say this to you now. Hear me and hear me well. I don't know what's going to happen to me. But I want to say by the grace of God, whether it's cancer, whether it's a heart attack, or whether it's a rapture, whatever, I want to stay in there for the glory of God and not stop, not back up, not quit. Hey, sickness did not move Paul. Suffering. Sickness. Suffering. I know y'all don't know who this is. One of my heroes in the faith is an old man of God by the name of Dr. W. Jack Hudson. Dr. W. Jack Hudson started the Northside Baptist Church in Charlotte, North Carolina back in the 50s. He's a race car driver, got saved. Dr. Hudson's one of the greatest men of God I've ever met in my life. He taught me about endurance. He taught me about staying in there. Dr. Hudson, his last years walked like this. He was eat up with arthritis. One of the most Christian gentlemen I ever met in my life, Dr. W. Jack Hudson. He'd walk like this. Pull him up on YouTube and listen to him preach. He'd walk like this. Had arthritis. His last years on earth, he'd have to go to Arizona and spend 3 or 4 months a year on account of the arthritis. And I never will forget hearing them preaching the Southwide. I'm talking about the old Southwide. Baptist Fellowship at Highland Park Baptist Church. They ain't in Highland Park Baptist Church no more. Y'all know that. It's not even there no more. But anyhow, I remember hearing them preaching Southwide Baptist Fellowship. And thousands of people were there. And Dr. Hudson came to the platform that night. And I walked across the platform and mounted that pulpit. And he preached on a message. He preached on the subject, playing hurt. Playing hurt. And he talked about a football player. The worst thing a football player can ever do is let the opposing team realize he's hurt. And boy, he talked about playing hurt. Hey, can I tell y'all something tonight? Hey, suffering didn't move Paul. I said suffering didn't move Paul. Hey, stand out for the glory of God. Now look at verse 24. Don't worry about time. I'll be done in just a minute. Bible says in verse 24, but none of those things move me. Listen to me tonight. Here's the big question. What is it in your life that would move you? He said, it never happened to me. I want to tell you something tonight. There's a man of God a whole lot bigger than I am. I'm nothing. I'm just a peon. I'm nothing tonight. And I want to tell you, I shake in my shoes. When I look back and see those in the ministry, look back and see those Christians that one time served God that's not serving God no more. That bothers me. That disturbs me tonight. Hey, listen to me tonight. Don't you never say it won't happen to you. What is that in your life tonight that would move you? Hey, what is that would get you out of the will of God? I want to say 1,000 times over. And if I can get on the mount with a loudspeaker, I'd want to holler out, it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. Hey, listen to me. None of those things move me. Give you 4 little things. We're going home. What kept him in the ministry? When he should have quit. When he should have threw in the towel. What kept him in the ministry? Notice verse 24. None of those things moved me. Watch this part. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. I want to say number one out of this text tonight. He had a determination that was unmovable. A determination that was unmovable. You better get you a truckload of grit and grace in this wicked day that we're living in. Boy, the preacher was right this morning. This know also in the last days, perilous time shall come. I want to tell you, the devil's got his big guns aimed at your home tonight. How the devil's got his big guns aimed at your ministry tonight. The devil's got his big guns aimed at your church tonight. How Paul said in this text here tonight, he said, no, things move. Neither those things move me. He had a determination how that was unmovable. Hey, let hell, high water come. I'm talking about a determination, thank God, that was unmovable this evening. I don't have time to preach this. But in Acts chapter 14, I love it. Paul's on his first missionary trip. And those Jews came down from Antioch and Iconia and stoned Paul and Silas. They stoned Paul, they don't stone Silas. I guess Paul was a spokesman. I guess that's why Silas didn't get stoned. But they stoned the Apostle Paul. And the Bible said they drew him outside of the city. Verse 20 of chapter number 14 says this, howbeit, as the disciples stood around, well, let's look back at the other verse. And having stoned Paul and drew him out of the city, supposedly he'd been dead. Let me say something before I move. Supposedly that he'd been dead. I will take the suppose out of that and tell you what happened. He died. You say Paul didn't die. I say Paul did die. Read 2 Corinthians. That man ascended up to the third heaven. Whether in the body, out of the body, I know not. You know who that was? That's Paul. And I'll tell you tonight, when they stoned him, I think he probably died. Are you listening to me? He ascended to the third heaven. I used to read that and I said to myself, you mean there's more than one heaven? I found out there's three. Heaven number one is where the clouds are. Heaven number two is where the stars are. Heaven number three is where God is. Heaven number one I see by day. Heaven number two I see by night. Heaven number three I see by faith. He ascended to the third heaven. And notice, suppose he did. Look at verse 20. Howbeit as the disciples stood round about him. That word round means to encircle. They're standing around him. They circle him. He rose up. Look at that word rose. That's a good little word. It's found over 100 times in our New Testament. And 35 of those times has reference to the resurrection. You say, preacher, what are they doing standing around him? I'm going to show you what they're doing. Those guys are standing around Paul. Paul's laying here dead. One of them is saying, I'll preach the message. You do the eulogy. You lead in prayer. And you take care of the committal at the graveyard. They're planning the guy's funeral. But right in the middle of it, all of a sudden, finger begins to move. All of a sudden, arm begins to move. All of a sudden, he reaches up, wipes the blood out of his eyes. All of a sudden, his leg begins to move. All of a sudden, he rises up. And guess what he said? He said, now what we need to do is call the Christian Law Association. I have been mistreated. I have been done wrong. We're going to call all your gifts. We're having him up here. That's not what he said. He rose up, and the first thing he said was, let us go into the next, I said the next verse, the next day, let's go into the next city and preach. You know how far that is? That's 18 miles, Derby. 18 miles. He didn't even ask for a Band-Aid. He didn't ask for no Mercurochrome. Y'all don't even know what that is. Are you hearing that? Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you why he wasn't moved. He wasn't moved because of the determination that was unmovable. I'll say, by the grace of God, hey, let's get socked in real good. Let's get locked in real good. Have a determination, thank God. That's unmovable this evening. Hallelujah. Stand up for God. It's the second thing in this verse. None of those things move me. Determination that was unmovable. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. He didn't only have a determination that was unmovable. He had a dedication that was unexplainable. He said, neither count I my life dear unto myself. Paul said, whether I live, it's Christ. If I die, it's gain. He didn't make no difference to him, preacher. If I live, it's Christ. If I die, it's gain. By the way, Paul's doing everything he could to get out of here. We're doing everything we can to stay here. He'll say, I'm not. We'll throw your medicine away. Quit going to the doctor. Hey, are you hearing me preach tonight? I'm talking about a dedication that's unexplainable. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. And you know what he said in Romans chapter 9 and verse number 3? One of my favorite mission texts. Paul said, I could wish myself were accursed from Christ. That word accursed is found four times in the New Testament, and it means to be devoted to destruction. You know what Paul is saying? Hey, man, if it means me going to hell to get them saved, so be it. I'm talking about, listen to me tonight. I'm talking about a dedication that's unexplainable. Paul said, my life, it doesn't matter as it's done, not that you throw to the dogs. Paul said, I'm now ready to be offered that Old Testament drink offering. What I'm saying is simply this tonight. He had a dedication that was unexplainable. I mean, there's no way you could describe a man like that. Oh, he had his eyes somewhere else. He had his mind somewhere else. He had his attitude, thank God, somewhere else. None of those things. Determination was unmovable. Dedication is unexplainable. Look at the verse again. None of those things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Watch this next statement. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with what? Joy. He had a delight that was uncomparable. That I might finish my course with joy. He had a delight that was they had a delight that was uncomparable, that I might finish my course with joy. 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 Oh, look up here and listen to me. I sure do enjoy serving God. I don't have no sad stories to tell. I don't have no pity parties to pitch. Hold my mute while I shout. Are y'all hearing me preach tonight? A delight that's uncomparable. I get to preach. I get to travel across this country and tell people about the Lord. I have preachers tell me, boy, I feel sorry for you. Well, son, you go out and find somebody else to feel sorry for. Huh? Now, I know my wife and I, when we get old, we might not be able to do it. But for the next 90 years, are y'all hearing me tonight? It's a joy, man. It's not a burden. It's a joy. And I'm going to tell you what moved Paul. He was on the road to Damascus. Oh, yes, sir. God, I've done something for him. But I want to say it's deeper than the road to Damascus. Paul would say it wasn't necessarily the road to Damascus. But thank God it was Calvary's road. And man, when I realized what he did for me. Because he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth me. That's not Paul's love for Christ. Read all that verse. For the love of Christ constraineth me. Because we thus judge, if one died for all, then we're all dead. One died for all. You know what he's saying? When I look at the cross, when I see, hallelujah, I don't deserve that. And you know what he's saying? He just simply said, a delight that's uncomparable. Man, when I it's not the Damascus road, but it's the Calvary road. I'm telling you, that's what keeps me going. I'm telling you, when I get tired and want to lay down, hey, something inside of me says, get up and go. Hey, a delight tonight. That's uncomparable. I close with this. None of those things move me. Neither can I my life dear unto myself. So that I might finish my course with joy. 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 I don't have smoked juju weed. I don't have to drink Bud Dumber. I don't have to go on the internet and look at garbage. I don't have to go on Facebook. Are you listening? Isn't it a shame the devil will take good things and ruin it? Ain't nothing wrong with Facebook if you use it right. But there's so many. I asked my wife, I said, dear Lord, where in the world does these people get time to do all that? I'm trying to schedule you some time to breathe. They send them nuts on there. They tell when to go into the bathroom. You'd have to go to the school of stupidity to be that dumb. I'm getting off of it. It's a joy. I don't have to have any of that to be happy. I'm just telling you tonight, God done something for me. God changed my life almost 50 years ago. I'm talking about a delight that's uncomparable. That's why he wasn't moved. Look at the last part of the verse and I'm closing. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Get my outline, I'm done. He had a determination that was unmovable. He had a dedication that was unexplainable. He had a delight that was uncomparable. But he said to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He had a duty that was undeniable. I got to tell it. I got to tell it. I got to tell it. Can I say something? Will y'all not get mad at me? I worry. I'm not talking about preachers. I are one. He's 11 independent, fundamental preachers in my immediate family. Before they started dying. Our one, I'm not talking about them. But I worry about a preacher that tells me, I'm talking about a duty that's undeniable. I worry about a preacher that can sit down and don't never want to preach. I get tired. I just come off of, about the last of July to just 2 weeks ago, I didn't even hardly have one day off. Physically, I get tired. Sometimes I want to rest. But after about 2 days, there's something to go and flip-flop to my soul. Are y'all hearing me tonight? I'm talking about a duty that's undeniable. Paul said, I've got to tell that story. I've got to tell that story. Now, I'll tell y'all something. I'm closing. Do you people realize what y'all been doing while I preach tonight? I watched you. Preachers are funny. I seen a guy preach the other day, and he preached his whole sermon. I tell you right now, the Bible never did open his eyes. I don't like to do that. I saw another guy preach the other day and preached a whole sermon. I'll tell you one thing. I thought, what is he looking at up there? I like looking at people, don't you, preacher? I like looking at people. Y'all know what y'all been doing while I preach tonight? Look up here. Here's what y'all been doing. That's what y'all been doing. Y'all been doing like this. You know why you've been doing like that? Because you know there's not a one of us in this room above falling. There's not a one of us in this room above messing up. And I want to say to you tonight, none of those things move Paul. I'm not old. I don't know how it feels to be old. But I see sometimes, I'm not talking about older people. Some of the sweetest people I had in the churches I pastored were senior saints. I loved doing stuff with them. You could do anything you wanted to do and they didn't gripe and complain. Try that with teenagers. I'm moving, but listen to me. Sometimes when folk get older, here's what I've experienced in the Carolinas. Seem like they get to the place in their life they think they don't have to go to church no more. I mean, they've been there all those years, and now, I mean, they go to Walmart. I done started meddling. Then go out and eat. My preacher, my back's been hurting me so bad this week. I just seen her over at Dollar General. Did you know they're building four of them in heaven? One on every corner. I shall not be moved. Glory, hallelujah. I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. In His love abiding, I shall not be moved. In Him confiding, I shall not be moved. Though all hell assess me, I shall not be moved. Jesus will never fail me. I shall not be moved. Though the tempest rage, I shall not be moved. On the rock of ages, I shall not be moved. I'm going to read you a verse. Therefore, my beloved brother, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Look up here and listen to me. When you look at that verse where it's at in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the longest chapter in the Bible on the resurrection. Paul's writing a letter to the most carnal church. Not carnal Christian. There ain't no such a thing. You say, I know carnal Christian. They ain't a Christian for carnal. He's writing a letter to the most carnal church in the Bible. He's assuring them if their loved ones has fell asleep and ain't going to get up, talking about their body, not their soul, we're of all men most miserable. But he's saying them, but telling them because Christ got up, every one of them bodies are going to get up out of the graveyard. All you put in the graveyard is a house you lived in. The house I live in is 5 hours down the road. I'm not there. Your loved one that you buried, you don't bury him, you plant him. All that's in the graveyard is a house they lived in. They're somewhere else. Are you listening? At the end of that chapter on resurrection, what a strange place for this verse. Therefore, my beloved brother, be steadfast and unmovable. Therefore is that connecting word back to the chapter. What is he saying about that chapter? Therefore, my beloved brother, be steadfast, immovable, always abound in work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not vain. You know why he said that? He said, I want to tell you something. As long as Christ is alive, you can be unmovable. That's exactly what he's saying. In church, listen to me. As long as our head don't die, we got him made. If you get up in the morning and he's dead, we're in trouble. Somebody said he's died. Back in the 60s, he come out with that. God is dead. S.M. Lockhart said, I don't believe that. I'm next to kin and I didn't get the notification. Therefore, my beloved brother, because he's alive, as long as he's alive, hang in there. Stay in there. You get out here by the clods or the rapture one and it ain't going to be long. Are you listening to me? I laid in the motel this afternoon and I prayed. And a preacher here probably never does this. And other preachers in this room probably never does it. I try to let the Holy Ghost check me on every message. I got Buku's outlines. But I'm not interested in a message. I'm interested in the message. And the booger man come in my motel room this evening. Here's what he said. You big dummy. You're in one of the greatest churches in the state of Tennessee. And you're going to go over there tonight and preach on stability. If you see him tomorrow, tell him I done it. You know why I did? Because of the Holy Ghost. Who's going to play that piano? We come instruments. Because of the Holy Ghost. So spoke to my heart. Good people in good churches are tempted to be moved. To be moved. Lord, have mercy. I got 5 grandbabies. They're all grown. Them are. Almost all of them. I got 2 great grandbabies. One in the oven. You know what I mean, don't you? I'd hate for my corpse to be laying at a funeral home, and it ain't going to be laying at a funeral home. She better not take me to a funeral home. You can come visit me and I go to heaven. You come to an independent Baptist church. You put dead stuff in funeral homes. Are you listening? I'd hate for my grandbabies to walk around and look down at Papa's coffin and look down at Papa's house he lived in and say, boy, he served God a long time. Our papa was a man of God for years and years. But in his latter years, he began to let up. That happens to preachers. He began to cool off. He began to, like one preacher told me some time ago, he said, you know, I don't take my coat off when I preach anymore. I don't either because I get sore throat when I do. I'm not against it. But he said, you know, I don't sweat like that anymore. And I'm not telling you got to sweat to preach. But I know where he was going with that. Are you listening to me? I don't want to shut up. I don't want to cool off. I don't want to calm down. I don't want to be moved. I want to go out here on fire for God. Would you stand with me? Oh God. Oh God. You know what you need to do, the pastor's coming.
You've heard God's word. I believe it's straight from heaven to us. The Holy Ghost is speaking to your heart. I wonder if you'd just be honest enough to do business with him tonight. while the sister's playing, and the Holy Spirit's still with your heart, would you come tonight?